You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Mercy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Bosses up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Yes, hello and welcome along to The Punt Podcast here at William Hill. A huge bank holiday of football with the biggest game in club football, the Champions League final, Real Madrid against Liverpool, battling it out to be kings of Europe. We also have the Football League playoffs. We'll be hearing from Pete Farries, Gav Pushilovsky and Al Ross on those. We've got Derek McGovern and William Hill trader Mark Steele joining myself, Mark Walton, on the Champions League final in just a little while. But we start off with our FWA guest. We're joined by Chris Bascom from the Daily Telegraph. How are you, Chris?
Not so bad.
Good man. Just a little bit of context before we get to this. We can all hear that you've got a Liverpool accent there. You've been writing about Liverpool for many, many years, haven't you?
Yeah, too long now. I can't believe the grey hairs when I look at myself now. So I started on Liverpool Echo in 1998, just before the France World Cup, actually, just as Michael Owen was making a bit of a splash. So that make it 20 years now?
Yeah.
Do you? Yeah, I was young once. Yeah.
Well, obviously,
now.
Yes. Obviously, in that time, you've seen some pretty good Liverpool sides. You've seen them win the Champions League, of course, in Istanbul,
yeah.
Back in 2005. Where does this Liverpool team rank in the teams you've covered, if you like?
Well, everything could yet change on Saturday night. I certainly would argue this is the most exciting Liverpool side since I was writing about Liverpool. I think Brendan Rodgers' side that nearly won the title with Suarez and Sturridge and Sterling in that 6-month spell was playing some fantastic football. But that was only really for that one season. And really, this has been for the last 2 years now under Klopp. Liverpool has been sweeping sides aside. And also the trajectory is just keeps on going up. You know, every time you feel as though you've watched some scintillating show, along comes the Man City game, for example, or then first half against Roma, and you do wonder how good this is going to get. Clearly, people will look at the flaws on the side as well. It goes with that, but I think it's so enjoyable to go along to Anfield at the moment, and you know, it really is a bit of a ride, and nobody quite knows when it's going to end. But I think to sort of say they are the best side, I think they're certainly the most entertaining side that I've reported on covering Liverpool, but I think to be considered the best, they would obviously have to win something. And, if they were doing the Champions League, I would probably argue then, yeah, this is probably the best side I would have covered. But it's very difficult to say that without that trophy, really.
Yeah. Let's talk about the match betting as well before we get stuck into it. I mean, we obviously need to talk about players and so on and so forth going forward. But Real Madrid in the market at 13-10. The draw is 11-4. Liverpool are 21-10. So quite attractively priced, no matter which way you're leaning in this. A lot of people have mentioned the fact that Spanish sides have had a great run in the Champions League and the Europa League as well. And also the great record of Spanish sides against English sides in major cup finals and European cup finals. I think Spanish sides have won the last six against English sides. A lot of people talking about that kind of thing, but is this Real Madrid side as good as it has been for the last couple of years, I suppose, is the first question I want to ask you.
Well, everybody's sort of saying they're not, are they? I haven't seen enough. I've watched, obviously, their games coming through the Champions League, and they did look as though they were having a bit of the run of the ball a lot, and yeah, certainly the penalty in the last minutes against Juventus and all that controversy, but they despite all that, they always find this way to win. It sounds such a cliche, but when you've got players who are bred to win and just keep on winning, they probably go into this game not believing they are going to lose the game, and I don't know you kind of overcome that if you're Liverpool. I kind of think even if Liverpool score first, the Real Madrid mentality will be no, don't worry. Whereas if Liverpool to go behind, I'm sure there'll be a lot more anxiety and what might happen. And you've got Madrid, they've just got these players who can just take the game from you in a heartbeat. You know, Ronaldo, Bale, Modric, Benzema. And of course, Liverpool potentially have that as well, but the fact of the matter is Madrid have done it so often before, and that's why I've kind of been quite dismissive of a lot of this suggestion that, okay, maybe they're a bit more vulnerable, maybe they're not as big a favourite as people say. I think when you've won it 2 years consecutively, you're going for a third, and you have that, I think somebody said there was 26 Champions League winners medals between you compared to none in the Liverpool lineup. I think if Liverpool do pull this off, I think the scale of the achievement will be, you know, even more grander, because to be doing it against such a well-established and formidable side.
Yeah, I mean, to win two Champions Leagues back-to-back, it was never done before Real Madrid, of course, since it became the Champions League. To win three in a row will be quite something, but of course the benefit of that is that they've got that wealth of experience, and they've got a player in Cristiano Ronaldo, who you mentioned in passing there, who just he just seems to keep getting almost better with age. He's modified his game slightly because he's not quite got the raw pace, if you like, or whatever that he had a few years ago, but in the Champions League his record is phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah, and of course, I mean, I think you don't make this sound like a negative, but he has an incredible, massive ego, hasn't he? And
yes.
he will be, I'm sure, seething that anybody might be suggesting that Mo Salah is going to come along and take that Ballon d'Or off him. So you can just imagine Ronaldo, right? This is going to be the night I'm going to show everybody, you know, the headlines on Sunday morning are going to be about Ronaldo putting the younger pretender in his place. And that's what kind of mentality that will drive him, and that's the kind of mentality Liverpool got to be wary of, and they will be wary of. But the flip side to that, you know, Salah's going to have the drive and the motivation to show that this is his time. You know, he had this incredible season, and what a way to end it would be if he's lifting the European Cup. So there's so many different angles within this game. I think it is intriguing in the sense nobody really knows who's going to get the upper hand. I think the only thing everyone is in agreement is that it'd be very unlikely to be a 0-0 draw. It'd be very unlikely that you're going to get a cagey opening kind of tactical game where they're trying to work each other out. I think both sides, or certainly Liverpool anyway, are going to just go for it, and that will open the game up, because then, you know, Madrid will have the opportunities in the counter-attack or find a way to expose Liverpool's defence. So I think it could potentially be one of the most exciting European Cup finals in a long time, and I think that's why the neutrals, even those who may not want particularly favour either side, I think they'll still be desperately to watch this game and see what happens.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be goals, doesn't it, which you don't always get in a major final. Just want to put some numbers on Cristiano Ronaldo as well. He scored more Champions League final goals than any other player with four. He scored in the 2008, 2014 and 2017 finals. He's bidding to become the first player in the Champions League era to score in back-to-back finals, and he scored two in one of those as well. So two or more could be interesting at 3-1 in the betting there. He's 4-5 to score any time. You made the comparison with Mo Salah, who's obviously one of the front runners for the Ballon d'Or as well. And what a season he's had. It's just been remarkable to see what he's done this year. Because, you know, when he first signed for Liverpool, you're thinking he's a Chelsea cast-off. He wasn't good enough for the Premier League. To do what he's done is phenomenal. This would be like the crowning glory of the season, wasn't it, if he was to propel Liverpool to the Champions League success?
Well, absolutely. And he's become a global phenomenon. I mean, most of Egypt, I think 90 million people in Egypt will be Liverpool supporters. He's got the World Cup to come again. And yeah, when he signed, I suppose when you look back, there were a few signs. Nobody would have predicted 44 goals, but in pre-season he was turning it up. And you kind of thought, if he's going to get these kind of chances in the Premier League, how many will he score? But it's just incredible how, you know, Chelsea let him go. I've seen quite a few of these people, you know, well, Chelsea won the league that year and should be blamed, you know, maybe the player wants to go. I'm sorry, you know, if your club had a player 2 years ago who was capable of this, I can't believe any Chelsea fans are really accepting of the idea they let him go. And same with De Bruyne, you know, it's a massive, massive mistake by Chelsea, and, you know, helped Liverpool. And of course, what also helped Liverpool is they tried to sign him before Chelsea. And how history may have been different. What would Salah have been like had he joined Liverpool under Brendan Rodgers when Liverpool first tried to sign him? What were those couple of years in Italy really the difference? Or did he always have it in him and he just needed the chance to show it? However it's happened, you know, the combination of Salah with Klopp and, of course, having a Firmino and Mane with him has just brought it out of him so thrillingly, and can he do it again next year is what everyone will be saying. Well, if he can win the European Cup this year, I mean, it doesn't get any better anyway, but I don't get the impression from watching Mo Salah and how he plays that this is just necessarily going to be a one-off kind of season. He's not going to score as regularly last year. Next year, maybe he won't get 44 goals every season, but I think he's certainly going to be hitting, you know, these great numbers for as long as he's around.
Yeah, and there is the tendency to presume that they are one-hit wonders or one-season wonders. We thought the same of Harry Kane, and he's gone on to score plenty of goals since. That trio that you mentioned, Mo Salah, Roberto Firmino and Sadio Mane, they are the leading trio of goal scorers in any Champions League. They overtook Real Madrid's Ronaldo, Bale and Benzema from 2014. So they've got a piece of history already coming into this. The amount of goals that we've talked about already, over 2.5 is priced up by the traders. Very, very short. It's 4-9 for over 2.5 goals. First time you get to odds against is over 3.5 at 5-4. But even that, I think, would be of some appeal because we've seen from both of these sides this season going forward, they're far better than they are defensively, perhaps.
Well, yeah, it's really the only way Liverpool can play. I think Klopp admitted himself on those occasions. Liverpool sounds like a crazy thing to say. Liverpool are never more vulnerable than when they're 3-0 up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, I think when there was one game, they were 3-0 up and they scored the fourth, and somebody put on Twitter, that's the all-important, crucial fourth for Liverpool. And it's a bit of a joke, but it was true. You know, it's like, as soon as they try and sit back now and try and, okay, now we're playing the counter-attack and we'll absorb some pressure, it kind of, they suffer. And I think the only time they really managed to pull that off was in the second half against Man City when they kind of got that away goal and they were quite comfortable after that. But overall, you know, there have been lots of occasions where they've raced ahead and then, you know, they haven't been able to maintain that tempo or whatever reason, but, you know, as would be the wise thing to do, don't necessarily need to keep going forward. But then they've ended up drawing 3-3, and that happened in Seville in the group stage. So I think they will keep going for it, and as I said earlier, that's going to make for an open game. You know, I don't think if it was 0-0 in 60 minutes, you would still see, you know, Liverpool pushing forward with Klopp's, you know, instruction. Make sure you've always got four guys in the box trying to go on the end of stuff, and that's just going to make for a thrilling night, I believe.
So it should be a thrilling night then. Biggest night in club football. Real Madrid 13-10, 13-10. The draw 11-4, and Liverpool 21-10. As we've mentioned, if I were to ask you which way you'd lean, if we were to put some bets on this, who would you side with?
Well, there's no way I would ever allow myself to bet against Liverpool. I've kind of thought a 3-1 win for Liverpool, but, you know, I have to admit that's as much heart as head. I just couldn't let my wallet go in a different direction, really. But I wouldn't do that with any great deal of confidence. I just think with the finals, there are so many variables. You don't know what kind of referee it's going to be. Is he going to be harsh? You know, you saw what happened in the, you know, one of the finals recently where players getting sent off early and ruined the spectacle. You know, these kind of things can happen in finals. But I think if everything goes to plan and both sides play to their full potential, yeah, I do believe Liverpool can win this game. And I do think Liverpool, the difference perhaps between the sides could be Liverpool could be posing a problem for Madrid that they have not encountered before. You know, I think Zinedine Zidane of the two managers will be wondering what is to come, what exactly is it like to play against this side, whereas Liverpool will kind of be well briefed to know they know exactly what they're coming up against in Madrid. They know how formidable they are. They know what Ronaldo can do. And so if there's any kind of surprise element, it will be in the Liverpool team. And perhaps, you know, Zidane's watched these games and seen it in action, but I think even, you know, Pep Guardiola and others have said it's only when you're actually in the middle of it, in the thick of it, this emotional football, if you like, that it just becomes a blitz. And if Liverpool could just produce one of those 15-20-minute blitzes that they just almost become a hallmark of theirs in this competition, it would just be wonderful to see it, and that would probably get them the European Cup.
Okay. Liverpool to lift the trophy, by the way, is 13-10 should the game go to extra time. If you fancy Liverpool to win the match and both teams to score, as well, we've mentioned a number of times how many goals we think there'll be, that's 4-1. So you're starting to get some quite appealing prices about Liverpool. They, of course, were the last English side to beat a Spanish side in a European Cup final. That was when they beat Alaves back in 2001 in the UEFA Cup. We've also got some enhanced odds I want to quickly mention to you as well, see if you like the look of any of these. Mo Salah to score, Liverpool to win, and both teams to score. That was 5-1. We've pushed that out to 13-2. If you're signing with Liverpool, that will be quite an attractive enhancement, wouldn't it?
Well, whatever. I mean, to say if Liverpool are going to win, I'd imagine Mo Salah's going to get one. But I mean, any one of the front three could tear it up on the night. I mean, not many. So I'd always say the old man, and he scored a hat trick in the competition.
Yeah.
You know, Bobby Firmino's got 27 goals this season. And I think that's the joy of Liverpool. I think Liverpool would love nothing more in many respects if everyone just focuses on Salah, because, you know, as I say, the other two are just as capable.
Yeah, if anybody fancies the trio to play a starring role, all three of them, Salah, Firmino and Sadio Mane all to score is 16-1. That's one of the hashtag your odds on the website as well. You can, of course, send your own in. Tweet at William Hill with hashtag your odds and request whatever bet you want there, and we'll price it up and stick it on the website. We've also got Cristiano Ronaldo and Mohamed Salah both to score, with Sergio Ramos and Dejan Lovren both to be carded. That's 22-1. So there's those kind of angles on the website there as well. And how about Liverpool to win, Cristiano Ronaldo and Mohamed Salah both to score? That is 10-1. So there's some interesting ones on there. Overriding opinion then, just to finish off with, just in conclusion, if you will, Chris, your thoughts for the Champions League final and what you'd eventually side with?
Well, yeah, I just hope Liverpool go there and produce their best form. They don't play, you know, with any fear. They don't play, you know, with frozen legs. I think Klopp's got them very relaxed over the last couple of weeks. He took them away to Spain. He's never seemed so relaxed this season. He's been in fantastic form himself in terms of his media duties. And if that transmits itself to the players, I really think that they can go out there and produce their best game. If that's enough, you know, not enough, well, they'll still come back with their heads held high wherever happens. I do think... You can't look beyond Cristiano Ronaldo as the X-factor player on the pitch, regardless of Salah's season. But I do believe if Liverpool play to their potential and everything goes well, I think they can win this game.
We'll find out on Saturday night. You're heading to Kiev as well?
I am indeed, yes. Okay. I am. I'll be there.
Well, enjoy it. Have a good night on Saturday. Very best of luck with what you've mentioned there for us. It's been a pleasure having you on, and thanks for joining us on the punt.
No problem at all.
Well, continuing our look ahead to the Champions League final then, and we're continuing a little bit of a Liverpool loving, really, because we've got two more Liverpoolians in the studio with us today. Mark Steele from the William Hill Trading Department and Derek McGovern on the line from Sunnier Climes over in Milan. How are you, fellas?
Very good,
yes,
thank
very
you.
Very well, very well.
Good. Derek, you beat the weather anyway by being over there. I know you've had a little bit of trouble travelling and stuff, but it's raining in England now, so you've done well to get to Sunnier Climes.
Great stuff.
Just trying to cheer you up a little bit, because I know it's stressed you out a little bit, that. We'll start with the betting for the final. Real Madrid 5-4, the draw 11-4, Liverpool are 11-5. We'll come to you first, Mark, in terms of where the money's gone. I've seen Liverpool shorten over the past couple of days, but just having a brief chat before we came on, you were saying both sides have been backed.
Yeah, we're incredibly competitive on this event, really. We're using this as a bit of a dress rehearsal for the World Cup, so we're trying to be best price as much as we can, really. Most of the early money has actually been for Real Madrid. Liverpool's a big loser themselves to the match. Real Madrid's a loser. The draw, if it's a draw, we'll win absolute fortunes and everyone will be happy. But I'd expect tomorrow all the sort of patriotic money to come in for Liverpool. I think that the days of, you know, neutral supporters always supporting the English team or the British team, I think they're gone. And there will be plenty of other, you know, Man United fans, Everton fans and whoever wanting to pile on Real Madrid. But I do think there'll be a huge swell of money for Liverpool tomorrow.
Yeah, I suppose the rivals of Liverpool will be quite happy to see Real Madrid. But I think the neutrals, the way Liverpool play football or have played football this season, I think they'd be quite happy to see Liverpool win. Wouldn't you say so, Derek?
Yeah, well, I think most fans in Europe will want Liverpool to win because Real Madrid have been there too often and they're the favourites, and it's always nice to see the underdogs win. I don't think that will be that many people in England will want Liverpool to win apart from Liverpool fans. You mentioned Everton and Man United fans, obviously they won't. But I'd bring in two Chelsea fans, Arsenal fans. I mean, if they win in the final, I wouldn't want them to win. Whoever they were playing, I'd want the foreign team to win. So no, there ain't going to be a big lubbing for Liverpool apart from in Liverpool, I would imagine, and in the rest of Europe.
Okay. Real Madrid, of course, bidding to win a third consecutive Champions League, which would be some feat. I mean, no team had ever retained the Champions League in its current guise. To do it three times in a row would be phenomenal. And the wealth of experience they've got, Derek, coming into this. Liverpool have zero players that have been to a Champions League final before. Real Madrid have won it the last 2 years. Is that going to play a part, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Experience is a big thing in a match like this. You know, there's a possibility of the Liverpool players freezing. You know, it hasn't happened so far in the quarterfinal and semi-final. It could this time. And you know that won't happen to Real Madrid. I think they've got 47 Champions League winners' medals in their squad at the moment. I think Emre Can, by the way, was a squad player for Munich when they won it a few years ago. So he might count from a Liverpool basis. But yeah, experience is a big thing. But then again, you could say that, you know, the Liverpool haven't reached a Champions League final for 11 years. Madrid have won 3 of the last 4. You can point out that Gareth Bale can't even get a starting place for them for Real Madrid when he'd probably walk into the Liverpool team if he was fit enough to walk. But that, come kick-off time, that doesn't mean anything, does it? You know, history counts for nothing when the big kick-off comes along. And I speak as a keen historian, Mark, by the way, because it was me who discovered that fractions were invented by Henry VIII. I was the man who invented that.
Really?
So 12 European Cups Madrid have won. They will count for diddly come kick-off in the Ukraine on Saturday. And you know what? I've switched opinion on this game. When I watched the 2 semi-finals, I thought, Liverpool have got nothing to beat here. Madrid are awful. That's a team that's gone over the hill.
Yeah.
But the closer it's gone to kickoff time, I'm thinking, oh, but look, they've been there and done it. You know, there's not a weakness in their squad. And Liverpool, when you look at the Liverpool team, it ain't that great, really. I mean, yeah, people talk about the front three and how dynamic they can be. But they're backed up by a midfield that's hardly creative and a back four that can certainly be got at. So I'm finding it hard to drum up confidence about Liverpool. The only thing I can be confident about is there'll be goals in the game. You mentioned 11-5 that Liverpool's priced to win. I thought that might be the final score, actually, 11-5. Because you say that, you know, you see some matches have got 0-0 written all over it. Well, this has, but only at kick-off. Because this is going to be, it's got to be over 3.5 goals, this, hasn't it? It's got to be. It's 11-10, I think you'll find. It's the first handicap market, first goals market you'll find that's odds against. I think that's an absolute certainty because these two sides, they're like two schoolboy teams. You know, when you see schoolboy matches finishing 5-all or something, yeah. It could finish something like that. There will be goals. I know everybody's saying that, but you think, well, I might be wrong here. They might be playing a cagey. But no, there's no way this will be a cagey game. It'll be absolutely fantastic to watch.
And you can fill us in on the money for the goals as well here, Mark, because odds against... We don't get towards against until we get to over 3.5. Over 2.5 heavily odds on at 4-9. 1-8 for over 1.5, which looks absolutely certain. Are we seeing a lot of money for goals?
Yeah, all the money's for the over goals. Obviously, you know, you don't have to be a football expert to know that both these teams are great at one end of the pitch and not so good at the other end of the pitch. It's a complete antithesis of last week's final, really, the FA Cup final. Everyone thought that was going to be cagey and tight, two cagey tactical managers, and it did turn out that way. And you'd be surprised if this wasn't, you know, an absolute goal fest. Neither side can really control a game. You looked at the two semi-finals, you know, Real Madrid, they were incredibly lucky to get through. They just, you know, they got ahead and they just cannot hold on. They're just not secure at the back at all. And Liverpool, although Van Dijk's made a huge difference since he's come in, you know, they haven't got the ability to just sort of shut down a game once they're ahead. So I think Liverpool, what they'll try and do, you know, they always seem to have this 15-20 minute spell when they can blow teams away. Maybe that, you know, if they get that going early on, they can get a couple of goals ahead and somehow hopefully hang on and maybe get another one on the counter later on. But the thing, if I let you into a bit of a secret with the way the odds are kind of compiled, we put in a goals expectation and we put in our opinion on who's going to win the game. And from that, I think we've got 250, 260 markets all derived from that. Now, we don't go in and compile every individual price that's in there. So sometimes the algorithms that we use, they don't sort of come in and sort of take into account every little detail and facet of the individuality of the way each team plays. So Liverpool, they play this really high intensity football, which, you know, it's impossible to keep up for 90 minutes. So, you know, you've seen in many big games this season, Liverpool have blown teams away with, you know, 15-20 minutes of incredible football and pressing in the first half, and then they've kind of hung on or not hung on towards the end of the game. So there's some interesting ways you can exploit that. I mean, there's a bet here that I saw on our site. We've got Liverpool to win the first half and Real Madrid to win the second half. That's 7-1. You know, that seems, you know, incredibly big to me. You know, if I was compiling that from scratch, I'd be a little bit shorter than that, I must admit. So I think punters will be, they'll be looking for these more exotic bets. You know, you've got Real Madrid to win the game and five or more goals, 6-1, that seems incredible. You've got 3-2, you've got 4-2, you've got 4-3. You know, they'd normally be unrealistic score lines, but in this instance, you know, it's very easy to imagine that sort of scenario could happen. Also, you know, the both teams to score is always really popular, and in past few years the team to win and both teams to score has been even more popular. So we've got Real Madrid to win and both teams to score at 13-5, and if you fancy Liverpool 4-1 to win and both teams to score, that's a way of getting, you know, an even bigger price on the team that you fancy to win.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that as well. Anybody, whichever way you're leaning, do it with both teams to score and you're going to get a better price about it. We've also got match result and three or more goals or four or more goals to go along with the five or more goals that Mark just mentioned there as well. Interesting point you made as well about Liverpool tiring later on in games, and Real Madrid have had a habit. If you look back at the Atletico Madrid final, for instance, where they looked the worst side for the first half, they were getting outplayed, but they still found a way to win it. They scored a late goal and won in extra time, of course. I think that's not a bad angle, Derek, that Liverpool could maybe just run out of steam here and Real Madrid's experience and guile, if you like, will get them through it.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point you just made there, Mark, that one about, you know, you said the odds originally, the expected goals, new things going to win, and all the other odds, much room from that. And it doesn't take into account the idiosyncrasies of the team. For instance, what you just said, Liverpool tire. And that is incredible. That is a fantastic bet. That 7-1 poke you just mentioned there. That is an amazing bet for exactly that reason. I'm sure if you framed every individual odds, as you were saying, that would probably be around 9-2 or something. So 7-1 is too big. The real reason Man United, I'm saying, the real reason Real Madrid are favourites here is because you've got Ronaldo. You know, he seems, you know, everyone's going about the Mo Salah in the season he's had. Well, Ronaldo has a Mo Salah season every season, it seems. He never does anything for 88 minutes. He seems to go through the lotions for 88 minutes, and then the other 2 minutes he's staring at the big screen with a scowl on his face, as though someone's told him they find Luka Modric more attractive. He doesn't seem to do anything. But one thing I will say is Liverpool fans, there's no greater admirer of Ronaldo than Ronaldo. He said he was the most famous man on the planet a few years ago, but he's not even the most famous Ronaldo. And it's worth bearing in mind that over the past 15 years, he's given Liverpool about as much trouble as Everton have. In 6 seasons of Premier League combat against Liverpool when he was at Man United, he scored only twice. One of those goals came when Liverpool were down to 10 men, or 9 if you include Ryan Babel, and the other one was a penalty. He went missing so often he had letters after his name, APB. He's never done anything against Liverpool, and now he's over the hill anyway, so we shouldn't be scared of him. In the course of this podcast, I've gone from fancying Liverpool like mad to fancying Real Madrid like mad, and now I'm fancying Liverpool like mad again.
You mentioned, well, you think Ronaldo's over the hill there. He could become the first player to score in back-to-back Champions League finals. And he's been involved in more goals than anybody else in the Champions League. Obviously, Firmino on the other side of that for Liverpool has been involved in plenty as well. A lot of people talking about Salah as well, Derek. But from what I've heard, you're not convinced by Mo Salah.
No, I'm the only one in the whole of the country.
Yeah.
I know. And I just, you know, I had the same argument a few years ago when Fernando Torres first came to Liverpool, and for about the first season and a half, he was scoring goals like there was no tomorrow. And I was looking at him, I'm thinking, this guy's an amateur. He can't play football. And I was the number of arguments I had about him, and I was proven right then, by the way, because he was a clown. Now I'm not saying Salah is as bad as that, but I'm convinced this is a Clive Allen season he's had, and next season he'll disappear from trace. I'm probably wrong, but you know that's my view, and I'm sticking with it.
I'm not convinced by Salah. A lot of people are, though. Have we seen a lot of money for him or Ronaldo, I suppose?
It's all about Salah and Ronaldo, really. All the wing casts and the first goal scorer and all the different ways you can get with those two players. I must disagree with Derek. Mo Salah is God. He's been absolutely incredible this year. I do appreciate the point. You know, in order to be classed alongside, you know, Ronaldo and Messi, you've got to do it year in, year out. He's had one amazing year, and he's got to continue that going forward. But wow, he's just had the most incredible season. It's been a joy to watch. It really has. Ronaldo, yeah, he's modified his game a little bit. He's still the goal threat that he's always been. He's 33 now, but he apparently the other day he was saying he had the physiology of a 23-year-old, which is a bit of a stretch, but he's definitely modified his game. He doesn't make as many runs outside the box and get as involved in the build-up as he used to do, but he's absolutely lethal when he gets half a chance in the box. And no wonder that most punters are trying to get with Ronaldo and get with Salah as much as they can.
No, he is. He's still, I mean, you know, he's 30, he should be over the hill. And his game, it used to be visible for 90 minutes in a game, Ronaldo, didn't he? Now, you don't see him and then he'll pop up with a goal and win you the game. And, you know, I suppose when you're playing football, that's somebody like him you want on your side. But to me, that's not a footballer anymore. I've got no worries about Ronaldo this game. I think Liverpool could control him. But I'm going for 4-1. Both teams to score in a Liverpool win. I think you're right about what you said. Liverpool are 11-5 to win. But if they do win, they're not going to win without conceding. Definitely not. So why not do it 4-1 instead?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Whichever way you're siding, do it with the goals, both teams to score. What about the other main names, if you like? So Firmino, Salah and Mane, between them, have scored more than any other trio in Champions League history. They beat the previous Real Madrid trio of Ronaldo, Benzema and Bale. Have we seen support for the other two in there as well?
Yeah. It's all about the front three, really. It's pretty obvious that, you know, they're Liverpool's main goal threat. One thing I would point out, though, James Milner's in there at 25-1. He's the leading assist maker somehow in the Champions League this campaign, which is really one of the most bizarre football stats I've ever heard. But just from a penalties point of view, that. We don't actually know who Liverpool's penalty taker is going to be. It could be Salah, I guess. It could be Firmino. But I think on the big occasion, they might just turn to James Milner. At 25-1, that seems a huge price.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about him for the man of the match market, because we've got that on site as well. The fact that he has had such a pivotal role in Liverpool's midfield, you know, you've got the likes of Henderson in there and stuff like that. They're not going to run the game the way Milner has done. And it is quite phenomenal to say that he's been running the games for Liverpool in the Champions League. It was made in Leeds, you see, so that's why. But he's 14-1 for the man of the match market. Have we seen any real interest in anybody in there?
Well, only Salah and Ronaldo again, yeah. Really. Like, people are trying to get with them as much as possible. The thing is with that, you know, James Milner, he's not going to be eye-catching. He's not going to, you know, stand out and be doing Cruyff turns and scoring from 30 yards, I don't think. But, so really, like, you know, you would expect one of the glamour players to really get the man of the match, but who knows? You know, he might just have the game of his life.
Yeah. One more market I just want to mention before we let you both go. Match times goals, if you like, that market. Liverpool to win and over 2.5 goals is 11-4, and that Real Madrid to win and over 2.5 goals is 13-8. That seems like a logical way to try and get a better price as well about some of the teams here.
Yeah, it seems obvious, doesn't it? You know, Liverpool aren't going to win 1-0, you wouldn't expect, would you? So, yeah, and anything like that, you know, you've got the both team to win and both teams to score. You've got team to win and minimum 3 goals, 4 goals, 5 goals. They're all the obvious bets, and you're getting some really big prices if you have a look down the list there. And it's up to you sort of how big a price you want to go for and how ambitious you want to be regarding the goals.
Before we let you go then, Derek, just a final summary from yourself. What are you expecting on Saturday night, and what's your best bet?
Well, I think it'll be an absolute cracking game. It's impossible, you know, whenever you say that about a game, it generally disappoints, but this can't possibly disappoint. It will be unmissable. I'm not confident about this bet, but I have to go back to what I thought after the two semi-finals. I thought Madrid are a very, very overrated team and over-the-hill team. And although as the kickoff time's run near, I've lost my confidence a little bit, I have to go back. That's my gut feeling. So I fancy Liverpool. And one of the bets I meant to mention earlier on, Sergio Ramos, the centre-half for Madrid. The last three European Cup finals, Champions League finals, he's been booked. And you understand why. And you can imagine that he's going to be left exposed a few times the way their left-back goes, career and up front. So if you can get a bet for him to be booked, Sergio Ramos, I would do that.
Yeah, we've got some hashtag your odds about him as well. Sergio Ramos to score and be carded. I think he scored in one of the finals before. 16-1
right,
for that.
Yeah. And I wouldn't put anyone off them.
Yeah, Ronaldo and Salah both to score, with Ramos and Lovren both to be carded. That's 22-1. I didn't mind the look of that, to be fair, as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be. I mean, Salah, you see, the way Mark was going on about Salah there, yeah, I can understand from a goal point of view that he's guarding Liverpool for all the goals he scored. But I've seen so many Liverpool games this season. I mentioned in previous podcasts where I think, what is he doing on the pitch? He's useless. And then all of a sudden he'll pop up in the 68th minute with a winner. And then you'll see in the papers the next day, Egyptian King nonsense. I'm sorry, I'm not having that. That's not a footballer to me.
Okay. A cheery note to end then from Derek there. What about you, Mark? What would you be, your recommendation be best bet for yourself?
Well, as I mentioned before, I think it's Liverpool to win the first half and Real Madrid to win the second half at 7-1. That's an incredible price. It really is. I'm just hoping as a Liverpool fan that Liverpool win the first half by more than Real Madrid win the second half. One other thing, Marcelo to be booked 3-1. That seems a good price to me. He's going to have Mane running at him, maybe Salah running at him. And he likes to get forward. He could get caught out of position, and especially if Real Madrid are ahead late on, he won't mind getting booked. So 3-1 to me seems very big price for him.
Yeah, I like it. What's the worst result for us in the final?
Well, it'll be 4-3 Liverpool or 4-3 Real Madrid, with Ronaldo scoring a hat-trick and Salah scoring a hat-trick. I won't be coming into work on Monday if that happens.
That'd be a disaster. Yeah. The Punt podcast might not be back if that happens. Well, thank you very much, fellas. It's been a pleasure as always. Good luck and enjoy it on Saturday night.
Thank you very much.
See you, boys.
Cheers.
So that's the Champions League final. We also have a big bank holiday of playoff finals on the domestic front. Aston Villa take on Fulham, 5 p.m. on Saturday in the Championship playoff final. We've got Pete Farries giving us his thoughts on that. We've got Rotherham against Shrewsbury in League One with Gav Puszczalewski's best bets. And we've got Al Ross on Coventry against Exeter in the League Two playoff final.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries, and for my championship nap, my final championship nap of the season, I'm going for Fulham at 7-5 to beat Villa in 90 minutes. Steve Bruce, of course, has got a mixed record in playoffs, was promoted in 2016 with Hull, was a runner-up in 2013, was a runner-up in 2007 as well, but he's a very good manager, and for me, he will push Villa to promotion next season. But Fulham, once their players got fit, have looked absolutely superb. Sessegnon 17-10 anytime. Mitrovic in great form as well. It's a hashtag your odds. It's an enhanced odds market as well. So there's loads of ways to get your value. But for me, Fulham will have the killer edge. Villa have wobbled and then had runs and then wobbled. They got past a fairly lackluster Borough. But Fulham always look decent against Derby, despite, of course, going into the second leg in the weaker position. Fulham are my play to get back into the Premier League. My nap, however, is Ryan Sessegnon to score anytime at 17-10. Whatever you're backing, very best of luck, and thank you for listening to the thoughts on the punt this season. Let's head over to Gav Puszczalewski for League One.
League One playoff final between Rotherham United and Shrewsbury Town for the right to play in the Championship next season. And the dilemma for me is it going to be unders on the goals or overs on the goals? Over 2.5 goals is 6-5. It gives you an indication as to what the traders think is going to happen at Wembley. 8 of 9 games for Shrewsbury have been under 2.5 goals. In fact, only once in the last 9 games have Shrewsbury scored more than a goal. Their last 3 fixtures, both against Charlton in the playoffs, and their final game at home to MK Dons, 1-0, 1-0 and 1-0. If you're looking at Shrewsbury Town to win this one, you're looking at Shrewsbury and unders. But Rotherham United, full of goals, their form is pretty good, and Rotherham have scored more goals in their last 2 games in the playoffs against Scunthorpe than Shrewsbury have in their last 4 put together. I think Rotherham are going to be attack-minded and have a real go at this one, and I'm fancying Rotherham to win at 11-8, and I do believe there will be goals in this one. The last time Rotherham win a League One playoff final was 2014, where they drew 2-2 with Leyton Orient. Plenty of goals that day, and generally, as a rule, we do get goals in the League One playoff final. 2015, Preston 4, Swindon 0. 2016, Barnsley 3, Millwall 1. So I'm fancying Rotherham to win 11-8, but I do like Rotherham to win and both teams to score at 19-5 for the League One playoff.
It's not quite the League Two playoff final I predicted, but had several tight refereeing decisions not gone Coventry's way in the semi-finals, it would have been. There is a version of the league table this season, which sees Exeter winning the title and Coventry inside the bottom half, and that is the half-time table. If the games ended after 45 minutes this season, Exeter would be champions, even above the Imperious Accrington, and Coventry would be 12 places and 13 points worse off, which, when you consider how many games are level at half-time, is actually quite a margin. When Exeter beat Coventry this season, they were leading at half-time and held on. When Coventry beat Exeter, it was level at half-time. Coventry won the second half. This is not a first goals win scenario, although Coventry did win 20 of the 22 matches this season in which they scored first and lost 15 of the 20 where they conceded first. I do think Exeter get the first goal here, maybe the second, maybe even the third, but I do expect a Coventry fight back. They are a good enough footballing side to maybe even force a draw, maybe more. And one bet that covers all those scenarios and yet gives us a nice big price for the final League 2 nap of the season is Exeter to win the first half, Coventry to win the second half. It's 10-1.
So there you go then, the Champions League, the playoff finals, all covered there on this week's edition of the Punt Podcast. Very best of luck with whatever you're siding with. Good luck with all your bets, and thank you very much for joining us once again. And we'll be back very soon on the Punt Podcast here at William Hill.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.